Good morning, everybody. It's been a while since I've been up here, so please be patient with me. If we could please turn our Bible to Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this story. So Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. I've always been interested in this story, and I thought it's one of the most interesting stories in the Bible. I certainly am not one to know every story in the Bible, you know, and this is one of the few that sticks out in my head, because I've learned this when I was younger. You know, I learned it when I was in Bible study schools back when I was before I was even saved. And so it's kind of, I think at that time it was used almost as a fear tactic, which is, you know, it doesn't really work the way God works in that way. I think the stories that shows love to me are a greater examples of God's power better than the fear. So, but this one sticks out in my head because a lot of the stories I know in the Bible have some kind of maybe a struggle or a sin that somebody goes through, and then there's some kind of forgiveness and redemption, and a lot of times we see a happy ending to a story, whereas this one had an immediate effect that was really devastating. It was so, it was the finality of the effect of what happened. It's really kind of disturbing to me. So I'll give you an example of Moses. It's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. So Moses, at that time when he was born, the Israelites were already slaves to the Egyptians, as we know. And Pharaoh was in fear that the Israelites their numbers were getting too great for the Egyptians. And Pharaoh's solution was to kill the boys at that time, so that kind of like a population control. But Moses' mother, as we know, he was placed in a basket and he was drifted down the river Nile. And he was saved by the Pharaoh's daughter, as we know it. And he was raised in a very comfortable royal family as an Egyptian. But when he got older, he witnessed one of the Israelites being beaten by a slave master. And so he killed the slave master. And because of that, he was afraid of what was going to be the result of him killing that slave master, and he ran away. But that story ended up in a positive way, because we all know he was lost in the desert for a while, but when he came back, he was able to free his people from slavery, from tyranny, from all of the negative things that his people was going through at that time. So that one has a positive ending to it. So there was a struggle, and then there was redemption, and there was a happy ending. And another famous story in the Bible You know, we know the woman who was being accused of adultery by the people, by these men, and Jesus saved her and said, you know what? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And as we know, she lived, and Jesus Christ told her, hey, you're saved. Go and sin no more. So for her sin, there was the she was facing potential death, and it was a pretty horrific type of death. I think, you know, be stoned to death. And so she was saved. And once again, there was sin, there was a struggle, and there was redemption. And today, I thought about I thought about this story about how choices that we make, sometimes we make choices that are have very little consequence or have very little effect in our life. And then there's choices that we make that has great effect in our life. So I liken it to choices, right? If you today, after a meeting, were hungry, if you were to say, hey, I'm a healthy kind of guy, I work out, I'm going to eat salad, right? That has a very little effect now, but later on it has probably good effects in your life. Because if you were to make a poor choice like I would, eat some hamburgers, hot dogs, and some fatty, greasy food, I might enjoy it right now, the cookies and all that, but later on it has some consequences, but it's really subtle. And that's how sin works into our lives. Because we look at it like, well, it's satisfying me now, but it may seem like, hey, it's inconsequential. There's nothing wrong about sin that I, you know, now it's affecting me, and maybe not somebody later on. But in truth, every choice that we make does have consequence, whether it be small or great. So, like I said, there's sometimes though, you have things about you that speak when you're doing something and you know you're doing something wrong, and you immediately right away know that hey, I'm doing something wrong, and I can go back to, I remember the first time I skipped school, I believe I was like in third or fourth grade, and I was going to school with my cousin. And my cousin, this was in the Philippines, you know, and we have, my cousin lived in this very small, humble house. But behind their house, they have like a creek, and the creek empties into kind of like a almost like a well, but it's open on top. And there's like a platform with the rocks on the top, almost like a small cliff, about 10 to 12 feet high. And as little kids, I remember in the summertime, we would go over to my cousin's house and jump off that cliff and then, you know, dive into the water. And it's a pretty deep well, and it was really fun. So my cousins and I, we decided like, hey, let's skip school today. And we walked over to his house, and we went into the river, the creek. And I remember... in the Philippines, we wear school uniforms for everybody. And I was like, I don't have any swimming shorts. So what I did was, you know, I just went in my underwear. And so I tidy whities, I remember, and I jumped into the water, you know, we enjoyed the whole day. But I was worried about the results of what would happen if somebody were to find out, like, especially his mom, because his mom... knew my grandparents, and my grandfather was really strict with us. And going home, I remember it's like, okay, I gotta get back in my clothes, and I didn't even think about it. You know, my underwear was wet, so I put on my pants and my uniform, walked back to school, got driven home by our school bus, and I got home. And how I got caught was because my clothes were wet. And so my grandpa was like, what happened? You know, like, why are you wet? And like, And then I was like, oh, we, you know, I don't know. And then I ended up like lying about it. And then my grandpa ends up finding out that I was skipped school from school. So I got spanked, and deservingly so. I would say that I got, you know, but right away I knew I was doing something wrong, and I knew that there was consequences, and yet I went through with it. And the worst part, I think, about it was I lied. I lied to my grandparents. So there's absolutely worse things in life that you can do that will affect you later on. Like in school, if you, for all of you who are still in school, if you decide not to finish school or if you decide not to finish your homework, that has greater consequences in your personal life in the future. So, like I said, sin creeps in on you, and you have to be aware that the enemy is always after you. The enemy is always, they're always going to be after you, and they're always going to, the enemy is always going to make things so subtle that you don't know what's going on. And so you have to make really good life choices. So Ananias and Sapphira, as we know it, he sold all of his belongings. So as far as I know, as far as I remember about the story, Ananias was actually part of the Christian church, the early movements of the Christian church. And so he, I imagine he was saved. I imagine that he would have been going to heaven. But, you know, at that time, the possessions that they had, it was so important to the apostles because it was a direct, they were following direct orders from Jesus Christ himself. The apostles were, at that time, they had been with Jesus Christ for such a long time, so they knew how important it was to spread the word. And if they didn't, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't have the Bible. We wouldn't have the stories that we have. We wouldn't have the examples that Peter and Paul and all the great apostles that went, you know, after Christ did, and how they spread the word. So the money that was earned when Ananias and Sapphira sold their belongings, it was really important to the apostles. And when he lied to Peter, because Peter knew, you know, he was withholding, probably because the Holy Spirit told Peter, like, hey, this, you know, Ananias is going to withhold from you. And when he confronted him about it, he lied about it. And then right away, he passed away. In the blink of an eye, he passed away. And if the way I see it is, no one is exempt from the punishment. Even people in the Bible who might have been, I don't know what Ananias's experiences as far as, you know, if he made contact with Jesus Christ himself, but it's, no one's exempt. So we're all accountable for our sins. And as we know, later on, Sapphira, you know, Ananias died, and like a few hours later, Sapphira, you know, he was confronted by Peter, or she was confronted by Peter, and then she lied too, and she too suffered. She died right away. So, like I said, that's an interesting story because of the finality of the consequences and how swift and how devastating it was to the both of them. And like I said, I'm here to talk about choices. And God, when he created us, he knew every single being in our body. He knew exactly when my first gray hair was going to show up. He knew exactly when I was going to do whatever I was going to do. And he knew exactly when I was going to do the bad things and the wrong things that I did. But God knew that, you know, he knew that was my decisions. He still loved me. And when God created us, unfortunately, choices are, it's a double-edged sword, right? It's either positive or negative that we make. God gave us free will and choice because he loved us. He didn't want robots. He didn't want drones to love him. So when he created us, he gave us choice. And the unfortunate thing about choice is, if we look at the first two people on earth, Adam and Eve, their first you know, they God put him in this paradise, and he said, you can have everything in this paradise. The only thing I don't want you to do is touch that tree right there. And I don't know if God put, like, red lights on it so that, you know, they don't even come close to it. And it's like red warning lights say, don't bite this tree. Don't eat the fruit of this tree. And they did. And that's what choices are. They chose to do, Adam and Eve chose the wrong thing at that time. And because of that, we now have inherited sin from them. And every generation after them, from now till when time ends, we're all going to have sin. Before we're even born, we're going to have sin in us. And sin is what prevents us to be with the Heavenly Father. Sin is what prevents us from a time of worship and a time of being with God. And so, choice is important. And choosing the right way, the right thing, sometimes is very difficult. And but the good thing about choice, like I said, there's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing about choice is that we have now a choice to find a solution for our problem, which is we are imperfect. And our imperfection prevents us from crossing that barrier into heaven. So if we look at here on earth, you can make bad decisions and sometimes you can get out of it. All you need is a good lawyer, right? If you have enough money, you can get out of bad choices that you've made. But if we look at chapter 8 of Acts, verse 17 to 21. So just a little background on this. I'll read it first and I'll let you know. So chapter 8, verse 17. Then laid their hands on them that they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the hand of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not in the sight, is not right in the sight of God. So in effect, he's saying here that, so Simon wanted the power that was given to Peter, the healing power. And Peter told him, like, hey, it's a gift from God. You can't buy it. He's trying to have that power to heal others. And that's the gift that God gave us with Jesus Christ. You can't pay for that. You can't pay for salvation. And it's in the Bible. It tells us, you know, he died for us. And the only way that we can pay for the only way that our sins would be paid for was by Jesus Christ dying for us and the blood that was spilled. And so that's the choice that you have today. And last week, James talked about the time, how now can never be later. And there's no greater time than now, than it is now to accept God in your life. So, like I said, no amount of money. I don't know if you guys heard of this billionaire's pledge. So the top billionaires in the world, they all got together and they have this like pledge thing that they do that they would give most of their money away. It was started by Warren Buffett, and he convinced Bill and Melinda Gates, and now Mark Zuckerberg. You know, all these billionaires are pledging all their money to save, to give to the poor. And unfortunately, I don't know if any of them are saved. I'm pretty sure Bill and Melinda Gates are not saved, because I think they're pretty open about their being anti-religion and anti-Christianity, most of it. But unfortunately, no amount of good works, no amount of money No amount of sacrifice that you will ever do will ever pay for your sin, that would ever pay, atone for even one sin. Even one sin. You can think of the most harmless sin that you've ever done won't even pay for all the amount of money in the world that you have or anybody has. And that's the unfortunate part of it. So death is guaranteed, but with your choice, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. So one of my favorite songs, you know, Just As I Am, I remember that. When I was saved, I was 17 years old, and that was the song that I can remember when I accepted Christ in my life. And it's such a simple song that it reminded me, you know, I was 17 years old. I really had no idea what the world was like. I was still living with my parents, obviously, and I didn't know how difficult life really would be outside of high school. But this song is one of the most touching songs I've ever heard in my entire life, because it was just as I am. God, if you want to be a doctor, it's 7 to 10 years of school, testing, then you have to work for a hospital for years before you can even become a doctor on your own. You know, it's a lot harder in California. There's like rules for everything. In order for you to become a plumber, you need a licensed plumber. You need to take tests. It's harder for you to get a driver's license than it is to accept Christ to get into heaven. That's what the amazing thing about the gift of God is. It's harder to get a driver's license in California than it is to become saved, to get to heaven. And there's no choice in life that I can think of in my short lifespan, and I'm sure there's we have elders here who can attest to this. There's no choice in life, in my opinion, that's more important than the choice that you make of whether or not you accept Christ as your Savior. Because the negative part is you get to just think about how long a year is, but it's eternity for the rest of your life once you give up the ghost, an eternity in hell where there is anguish and suffering, the gnashing of teeth. You get to be away from other Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ, or you get to spend an eternity of comfort and love and care, and it's just paradise, I imagine. I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but I imagine it's going to be a lot better than what it was like when I graduated from high school and I joined the military. I just can't imagine how great it is to be with the Father. And I have nephews and nieces, and you know, I helped babysit them. I see my son now, how perfect and innocent he is, and the most wonderful gift that I think God has given to me so far, besides my wife, is my child. And I look at how innocent he is, but unfortunately, he's inherited the sin that Adam and Eve gave his people, their race. And so I implore you, I beg of you to make a decision. You're going to either ignore it, and one of two things will happen. Either you die before Christ comes, or Christ comes and whoever saved you, get raptured. But the sin itself, it will not be paid for by you. It's already been paid for in full by the Christ, by Christ dying on that cross that day. So I want you to know he loves you that much, and think about it. Go ahead and bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we can come to thee today to give thee praise and worship and thanks. And Father, we thank thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and how wonderful he has been. Oh, what a great Father and Creator thou has been. And Lord, we know that our imperfections prevent us from being with thee, because thou art perfect, and so is thy Son. And Father, we are so grateful that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He came down from a place of comfort He was seated right next to thee. He was with thee from the beginning of time, and that he was there also beside thee, Lord. And he left that place of perfect paradise to be with us, to show us that his love was so great for us, and thy love was so great for us, that thou was willing to sacrifice thy only begotten Son. And that Jesus Christ, knowing the end result, knowing the suffering that he would go through, the humiliation, knowing the physical torture that he would go through that day, and ultimately be nailed on the cross while still alive, be crowned with thorns, be spit upon, he was jabbed on the side with a spear and given vinegar to drink. Knowing all of that, knowing that we would hate him, knowing that we would show despise towards him and contempt towards him when we show contempt towards others. Lord, knowing all of that, he still decided to come down and die for our sins. And Father, the choice is ours. And it's not always easy to go right instead of left, to go straight instead of back. It's not always too easy to do the right thing, and it's not always easy to make the decision that we need in our lives that are good for us. It's not always easy, and we don't always see the signs. We don't always see what's ahead of us, that sometimes there's danger, and we keep going anyway, and we know that sin is bad. We know that sin keeps us away from thee. But Father, thy love for us was so great, and we just want to thank thee for thy Son. All these things we pray in thy most precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.